If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, speaking with Panama. Michael Yan, my colleague longstanding, traveling the world looking for the Great Migration, the Global South, forcing its way into the global north, and at the same time crashing borders in Greece from Turkey, in Lithuania from Belarus, in London from France, and certainly in the United States from Venezuela via the Darien Gap, via Panama, and all the Central American roadway in between to the Mexican border with Texas. And I welcome Michael Yan, who's in Anton Valley, Panama, with his colleague Chuck Holton, a war correspondent. Both of them are Chuck Holton, all one, at locals.com to follow the reporting, and Michael Yan, Y-O-N, all one, at locals.com. Chuck is on the line with me because Chuck and I are exchanging anecdotes about Venezuela. Chuck, as you know, there are statistics showing that suddenly the dominant migrant coming through the Darien Gap, through Central America, headed to the American border, is Venezuelan. All of a sudden, 2 years ago, that was not the case. Cubans and Haitians were dominating. Last year, there was a transition, and now the dominant number, at least to those who are counted, is Venezuelan. I have heard in these last days that the Caracas government is weaponizing migration. How do they do that? Well, first of all, they make conditions impossible to live. The healthcare collapses, the education collapses, the food chain collapses. But at the second time, there's said to be travel agents in Caracas who, for a considerable fee, make it possible to bypass the Darien Gap and fly right into Central America, obtain a visa or a transportation permission from Mexico to the American border. We do know that Venezuelans have been turning up in unusual numbers in New York City and other eastern cities for some time. What can you tell me about your conversations with Venezuelans who are, as I understand it, not coming to America to live, but coming to America to work and send money home? Good evening to you, Chuck.
Good evening, John. Thank you for having me. So there are essentially two groups of Venezuelans right now. There are Venezuelans who are trying to make it to the United States by walking and coming up through the U.S. southern border. And there are Venezuelans who are flying that are coming in by air and are, like as you mentioned, coming directly from Venezuela, not having to go through the arduous journey of crossing the Darien Gap, being robbed and potentially raped or even murdered in there. And unfortunately, the reason for this is sort of twofold. First of all, the number of Venezuelans, as you mentioned, has exploded this year. In September alone, U.S. border agents had 34,000 encounters with Venezuelans alone in that 1 month, a record. That used to be a very high annual number. Now it's a monthly number. And the reason is that that we're talking to these migrants here in Panama, and they're saying the reason everyone is coming is because there have been essentially what would amount to infomercials being played over and over on local media in Latin American countries saying that now is the time to come. The border is open. Venezuelans are welcome. And they're hearing from their friends in the United States that because of the current administration and their policies, that up until just recently, Venezuelans were being essentially just waved right through and allowed into the United States, released on their own recognizance and not held. So that was a change that had happened over a year ago, but it's just been ramping up and ramping up and ramping up. Now, I have to point out, the majority of those Venezuelans had already left Venezuela a number of years ago. They're not coming directly out of Venezuela. They're coming from places where they had moved and they were already making a living. So that could be Ecuador, it could be Chile, it could be Peru, it could be Colombia. But they were already doing okay, making a living, working. Colombia allows them a visa that they can work, and so does Peru and Ecuador. So they had been doing fine, but they'd been reached by these infomercials, and that could be a CNN broadcast. We've seen a lot of CNN broadcasts in CNN Spanish that are essentially, by way of a news story, spinning the story of the southern border as this is the time to come. If you're going to get in, you better get in now. For example, the headline of one of the news stories I saw on CNN in Spanish was, here is a list of cities that will welcome you with open arms in the United States. And so people are hearing that and they're saying, okay, well, they're not fleeing war and oppression in Venezuela. They're living just fine in Colombia or Peru, but they're deciding now's the time to upgrade my lifestyle and get an even better job in the United States. So they're coming for that. The deal that was made with Venezuela between the United States government and the Venezuelan government in Caracas was that we will reduce the number of sanctions on Venezuela, and we will start to purchase your oil again in order to try to reduce fuel prices. In return, you'll agree that we will accept 24,000 Venezuelans per year in the United States only if they come by air. We will no longer allow Venezuelans to cross the U.S. southern border into the United States. And so any Venezuelans that now from now on that show up at the U.S. southern border are going to be turned back. That's what we've been talking. That's the kind of people we've been talking to here in Panama. We went into Panama City. There are a tremendous number of Venezuelan now refugees who have essentially sold all they had, spent all their money on cartels and smugglers trying to get to the United States only to be turned back and find out that they cannot enter. Now they're faced with a real dilemma because they're out of money, and they're trying to figure out what to do. Some of them say that they are planning to just wait it out in Latin America somewhere and wait for the policies to change once again so that they can enter via land. And others are taking a deal that's being offered by the Venezuelan government, $280 for a one-way ticket back to Venezuela. Most of them don't have that money, so we found quite a few people who are begging on the street trying to raise that money so that they could fly back home.
Chuck, a detail here. We're talking about Venezuelan nationals. Does this story also pertain to other nationals? In other words, are the Venezuelans only to be turned back at the border, and other countries we've talked about, Haiti, Cuba, the African countries, are they just still passing through the border? Because the numbers continue to climb.
Yeah, they are, John. And that's because, for one simple reason, because Haiti and Cuba refused to take their asylees back. So their citizens that leave those countries, if they get picked up by the U.S. government, we cannot ship them back to their own countries. So they are being allowed through, as far as I understand, at least to this point. I did see that some relations have been normalized now in a small way with Cuba in the last week, where we've opened a consulate there again. You may recall that there were some very strange happenings at the consulate in Cuba, where our diplomats were suddenly going blind and deaf because of maybe some sort of energy ray that was being directed at the embassy, at the consulate there. This was years ago, even during the Obama administration. But and so that had been closed. It was just recently reopened. So we may be seeing a similar attempt at normalization to the point where we can ship Cubans back to Cuba.
And Chuck, My memory, when Michael and visited the border, my memory is there were, or perhaps I just saw it in a photograph, that there were passports and visas all scattered on the other side of the Rio Grande River because people were just throwing away their identification. And when they got to the border guards or the confrontation, they could make up anything they want. Are the Venezuelans hip to that? Are they doing that, to your opinion, Chuck?
I have not been at the U.S. southern border for a month and a half or so. And so I would be reticent to answer that question in the affirmative. I really don't know, because the Venezuelans that I've been speaking to have not made it to the United States yet.
Right.
So,
well, let me.
I'm sure. I mean, you have to understand there are WhatsApp groups and Facebook groups that are kind of like the old hobo highways, during the Depression, where they communicate with each other, they figure out what works, they figure out where the path of least resistance is, and they pass that along to the other people that are behind them in the pipeline, and then they will immediately take advantage of that as quickly as possible.
Michael, you're there. Do I remember correctly about all those tossed away documents by people on the south side of the Rio Grande?
Oh, yeah. We collected like a whole trash bag full of them and took them, were invited to Washington by, a half dozen congressmen, laid them out on a big table. For instance, Congressman Tiffany, I think, is the one who actually arranged all that with Todd Bensman. Todd Bensman was physically present. And in fact, Todd Bensman's organization paid to have one of the Indian, Imbara Indian chiefs, he's a mayor actually of 26 villages, Francisco Agape, to fly up to Washington. And we laid out these documents. In fact, I talked with Francisco, the Indian mayor, this morning about the new flows through Darien right now. But yeah, there was the whole trash bags full. Not only that, passports and all kinds of IDs and also debit cards. And we tracked back some of those things. Also bracelets that so that the cartels can see who's paid and who's not paid. You know, their fees to come across.
Kind of like you would get at a resort or on a cruise ship or something, those bracelets that won't come off.
Yeah, little like kind of sort of plasticky paper, you know what I mean? This is being driven as part of we're clearly in a state of war. You can see the human osmotic pressure, that hop, the push and the pull of migration, the hop, the human osmotic pressure is being driven by economic and food and energy issues that are increasing in Africa and Asia and Europe, actually. We haven't seen many Europeans come through Darien. There are actually occasionally some, like, for instance, very occasionally some French or that sort of thing. Now sprinklings of Ukrainians, that was just sort of Europe. And anyway, actually, Chuck just got back from Ukraine. But we can see that the flows are increasing as that hop, that human osmotic pressure, the positive pressure pushing people out, for instance, from Peru specifically, like a year and a half ago, I didn't see many people coming through from Peru. Now you see them every day. And also we see mainland Chinese coming through constantly. Now the Chinese will generally, they seem to go to Ecuador first. The ones I've talked with go to Ecuador first. A lot of the Africans will go to Brazil first. Haitians and Cubans will often go to Suriname first. And all these different groups, they funnel through Colombia. And then they come through the Darien Gap. And then finally they end up in like Medese. We've talked about Medese, John, with you and your program numerous times. She's in, you should hear what Chuck has to say about Medese. He flew up to New Jersey and interviewed her and her family up there. And Medese just put on her Facebook about a week ago that she wants to go back to Haiti after she went through really like an epic level, journey through Darien Gap, and that was just the least of it. And now she's up in New Jersey, and she wants to go back to Haiti. She put it on her Facebook. Actually, Chuck, can you say more about that?
Well, what she actually said was that the living conditions where they are in, urban setting in New Jersey near Newark Airport are horrific. They're terrible. And she's not allowed to go to leave her house unless she's going to school because of the gang violence and stuff in that. Yeah, she's a beautiful 17-year-old girl. I think she's just turned 18. And so her mother you know, forbids her from even leaving the house. So she loves school, but other than that, it's a very bad existence for them. They're very much struggling because nobody told them that when you get to the United States, yes, you can make $15 an hour, but a cup of coffee might cost $8, and your water bill might be $250 a month, and your power bill in the wintertime could be $500 or more. And so they just had no idea what they were getting themselves into. They've been weaponized by the Biden administration, by the left, against the American people. And they've been used as pawns, and many of them are now figuring that out. So, again, it's fascinating to be here in the crossroads in Panama and to see these Venezuelan migrants who are saying, you know what, it's not worth it. I'm just going to go back to Venezuela. When Venezuela is your option, you know things are pretty bad.
Chuck Holton, war correspondent, Chuck Holton at locals.com. Michael Yan, war correspondent, Michael Yan at locals.com. Well, I'm going to turn away from the migration story for a moment because Chuck's just back from the war zone, a war in Europe, a global North war, a world war. And I'd like his observations and Michael's observations as well. For some time, both Chuck and Michael have apprised me that we're building to a confrontation of a scale something only our father's generation understood. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.